Anger has its uses, however, it is no resting place. St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, says, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger." Today's gospel depicts an angry Jesus with a whip in his hand. This image doesn't sit well with the traditional image of a meek and smiling Jesus. It seems to be so out of character with what we know from the rest of the Gospels that we are tempted to dismiss this scene. It would be a mistake to dismiss this picture. There was another side of Jesus' character. He was gentle, and on occasion was assertive. It comes as a shock to see Jesus in this furious state. He is resorting to what looks like a form of violence. We have been taught that all anger is sinful. Anger is a feeling, neither good nor bad morally. There is no denying that anger can be a dangerous thing. Our anger can result in us saying or doing something that we regret. Anger can be a good thing. An unjust situation should make us angry. Anger can spur us to make something right that is blatantly wrong. In this case, anger is an expression of love. We need to look at things that make us angry. Most anger is motivated by self-interest. For the most part, we get angry about petty things. We get angry about how one is ahead of us, whether it be in the workplace, the economic world, or even as small as the highway. But we do get angry about petty things. Things that have happened in the past, things that we have no control over, whether it be political, economical, religion, or social-wise. We do get worked up when our interests are threatened. But do we get worked up when our neighbors' interests are threatened? My brothers and sisters, many of our people here in Fort Worth don't have adequate resources to eat or to have a decent place to live. There are lack of jobs. What are we doing to help them? To return to the gospel of today, Jesus did not get angry in the temple for his own account. His anger resulted from his love of God and neighbor. Firstly, his action in the temple was a protest against the commercialization of religion and the desecration of sacred space. Secondly, during the time of Jesus, religion had become a narrow, nationalistic, and exclusive thing. The temple was to be a house of God for all nations, where all people were to be welcomed. It became an exclusive place, a guarded preserve of the Jews. Jesus wanted to do away with this notion. He taught that salvation is for all people. Thirdly, Jesus was attacking Jewish worship. Temple worship and animal sacrifices could do nothing to bring people close to God. He was replacing sacrificial worship with spiritual worship. In the present age, our church calls us during this period of Lent to pray, fast, and to give alms. But those are things that we are supposed to be doing throughout the year, to act justly, to walk humbly, and to love tenderly, emptying ourselves, putting our needs away to meet the needs of others. But in this time, we are called to evaluate exactly where we're at and to go deeper. Our prayer is to give us the grace and the generosity to do the other two acts of fasting and almsgiving. Fasting could mean not spending a lot of money on things that we really don't need. And with that money, giving a share of that to the people who do need it, so that their life is a little more comfortable. My brothers and sisters, this is the challenge of following Christ. We are spiritual beings on a human journey. And the human journey is not easy. All we need to do is to look at the stories of the Old Testament. Yes, people were called. Abraham had his challenges, Moses had his, David has his, Solomon had his. But God remained firm, and we enter into covenant with God every day. And this is God's grace, so that we may prepare ourselves for the eternal journey into heaven. So as we continue with our liturgy, let's pray for that continuous grace of generosity and willingness to conform to the practices of prayer, almsgiving, and fasting.